Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we're continuing, and we're right at the ending of my book, The Blood and the Glory. We are now on page 153 in the chapter, The Anointing for Power. Smith Wigglesworth, the reputation of this spiritual giant is widespread till this day. I would like to have included all the articles I found actually written by his hand, but in an excellent collection of his early articles and sermons in the publication Confidence, and also in another publication, The Pentecostal Evangel, and even other Pentecostal periodicals, have been put together a book by Wayne Warner, who was, when I knew Wayne, he's still here and living, but I haven't worked with him in a few years, but he was head of the Assemblies of God Archives. And he put together a book, Smith Wigglesworth, The Anointing of His Spirit. And he did it from articles and sermons that Smith preached with the Assemblies of God and then also these others. In the book, The Anointing of His Spirit, it reveals the respect for the power of God common to the old-timers we've been learning here. And Wigglesworth, of course, Hannah, you knew Mama Jenkins. Now, describe Mama Jenkins. Hannah's here with me today. She's my granddaughter. Would you please describe for us Mama Jenkins?
Mama Jenkins is a Southern Black lady. I met her when she was in her 90s, I believe about 95 years old. Southern woman, full of God, full of faith, very stern, loves to cook.
And Mama Jenkins, when she went home to be with the Lord, she was 103 almost. She passed away just before Christmas. She would have been 103 the next February. Now, when she was a little girl, she had gifts and movings in her of the Spirit. When she was just a little girl, 2 years old, she said to me she can't remember when she didn't see angels. And she saw her angel, and she would be given things to tell to her father. And he would spank her because he thought she was lying. And Smith Wigglesworth, her father, Mama Jenkins' father, from here in Southern America, he went to England and he was working on a bridge building job. It came church night and he wanted to go to church. So he heard of a church and asked directions to get there in England. But when he got to the church, he turned the wrong way and he ended up at a different place than where he wanted to go. And he ended up in a Smith Wigglesworth meeting. And Smith Wigglesworth said, "There's someone here and you've been spanking your child. And the Holy Ghost wants to tell you it's God and you stop that spanking. And you're married, you have four children." And so he didn't come up. Mama Jenkins' father didn't come up. And Wigglesworth was a very stern man. Finally, he said, "Don't disobey the Holy Ghost. You come up here right now." He said, "Well, I only have three children." He said, "Oh, no, you don't. I'm the man of God, and your wife was pregnant when you left home, and she's had the baby just 2 weeks ago, and her name is such and such." Well, of course, these were days that they didn't have the communication that we've got now. They didn't have the cell phones. They didn't have anything we've got. And so he said, well, he didn't know the fourth child had been born. But Wigglesworth knew by the power of the Spirit, called him up, and he said, "There's a little girl, you're a little two-year-old girl, 2 to 3, and she's seeing and hearing from God, and you've been spanking her and telling her that she's lying, telling stories." And he said, "When I come to America, I want you to bring her to me." So that little girl was Mama Jenkins, Mary Jenkins. And when Wigglesworth came to America, each time he came to America, she would travel with him. They would take her to him. And in the meetings with him, there would be power and glory and strength and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. She was there. She saw him hit that woman in the stomach that everybody talks about him doing. And Mama Jenkins always talked to us about the power in the holy life and the signs and the wonders that happened in Smith Wigglesworth's life. We also, another lady that we have studied a lot after, and she has impacted us, is Maria Woodworth Etter. Sister Maria Woodworth Etter. I first heard about her from Kenneth E. Hagin. And this is what Wayne Warner wrote in his book about her. Speaking of miracles, signs, and wonders, no ministry surpassed the supernatural evident in Maria Woodworth Etter's ministry. People fell out under the power, on trains passing through the area where a Woodworth Etter meeting was in progress. John G. Lake said, "There are people who are born away up in the blessed dominion of God like our Mother Etter. They have resurrection power. Sister Etter placed great faith in the blood to prepare the way for the power to work. Her own account of a great meeting in Los Angeles illustrates this. The worldwide camp meeting was no doubt the largest gathering of baptized saints in these days. I had the 10 o'clock meetings, which would have lasted all day, for the power of God was poured out so wonderfully. But I had to close at 2 o'clock for other services. As they led me," Sister Etter writes, "to the steps that went off the large platform, I stopped and looked at the many hungry, anxious souls. Then the power of God came on me. I raised my hands to heaven and stood there as the Holy Ghost swept over the multitude. I said, 'The Lord is going to save a lot of you, dear people, just now. All who want to be saved just now, while I stand here and sprinkle the blood of Jesus on you by living faith, come forward.' There was a rush from all directions to the platform. They began to weep and shout, and scores were converted without getting on their knees except those who fell down under the almighty power of God. Another day, as I came off the platform, many that could not get near while I was praying for the sick stood looking so sad, crowding around me as near as they could, trying to touch my hands or speak. I stopped to look at them. The power fell on me and swept over them. I raised my hands and told them all to look to Jesus, to look up, to lift their hands and faces to God, that I would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb over them, that they would all be healed. Oh, glory to God. The healing power swept over. Many miracles of healings were wrought. People were saved and baptized. Now, about 2 years after, in our convention in Los Angeles, I heard many wonderful testimonies of those who were healed. Two marvelous cases said they were healed the day that I was standing on the steps of the platform. Brother Anderson's healing. Brother Anderson came from Portland, Oregon. He had blood poisoning and was covered with ugly, running, and eating sores, some nearly as large as his hand. He was a nervous wreck, and he could not sleep, and it was affecting his brain. He asked me if there were any hope for him, and I told him if he would give his restored life to be used to the glory of God, the Lord would heal him right now. He said, "I will." Sister, I'm going to interject this right now. She always, before she'd pray for the sick, she made them promise they'd live the rest of their lives for God. "I prayed for his soul and body and sprinkled the blood of Jesus all over him by a living faith. Bless God, the blood struck in. I laid hands on him and rebuked the poison and cast out the unclean spirits. And the plague was stopped and the blood was cleansed. The power of God struck him and he fell and lay like a dead man. I left him lying there, but praise the Lord, the next morning his sores were all gone. Not even a scar of those rotten sores. His flesh was like a little child's, where great raw sores had been on his hands and arms. All could see that the Lord had wrought a miracle." This was in Los Angeles. And in our meeting at Long Hill, Connecticut, a while later, a brother rose in the back of the tent. It was Brother Anderson, and he had just arrived on the grounds. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and his face was shining as he told Hal God had sent him across the continent to tell what great things God had done for him. I heard this brother testify in Chicago and Philadelphia many months after, and he was perfectly healthy and giving God the glory. Mrs. Eder included the words to this song in her book published in 1916. Now, we've been talking about the old timers. I'm actually reading from my book, The Blood and the Glory, and we are to the end of it. And at the beginning of it, I said I set out because Brother Hagin said the old timers knew something about the blood that we don't yet know. And so in searching what the old timers did know about that blood, we've come here to this place in our book where Sister Eder actually, in this one service, sprinkled the blood over the whole place, and the people had marvelous healings that day. The old timers were told in a word of the Lord, make much of the blood, and the blood will make much of you. This is the song that Mrs. Eder included the words to in her book, Where the Blood Can Heal. Do you seek relief for your sin-sick soul? You to Christ then must make appeal. There's no other one that can make you whole. You must come where the blood can heal. You must come where the blood can heal. You must come where the blood can heal. There's no other one who can make you whole. You must come where the blood can heal. Vain are all your hopes of another cure. Be persuaded you now to feel. Help alone through Christ that you can secure. You must come where the blood can heal. Other proffered aids can but you deceive. At your will unto life they steal. You must look to Christ if you'll hope to receive. You must come where the blood can heal. Have you not? 'Tis there a decoying voice, striving ever to quench thy zeal. Would you from him turn, refuge safe to find? You must come where the blood can heal. If you would arise from your bed of pain to the counsel of Christ, then kneel. 'Tis prescribed by him and your only hope. You must come where the blood can heal. The life is in the blood. Jesus Christ came with the life that was in his blood and poured it out for you and for me. And in believing in the power of the blood of Jesus and what he did on Calvary 2,000 years ago, it says that Moses sprinkled the blood, lest the destroyer destroy them. You can sprinkle the blood upon your life today, upon the sores in your body, upon the hurt in your soul, and come where the blood can heal. This is Billy Brim, and we are reading in my book, The Blood and the Glory. We have one more day till we finish that book, but you can call us at 1-800-972-3447 and find out how to get that book for yourself. This is Billy Brim and Hannah saying today, Shalom, Shalom, until tomorrow, when we'll come back finishing the book, The Blood and the Glory.